Reports out of Green Bay are that Ron Zook will be named the new special teams coordinator of the Packers. We'll get thoughts from Eric Edholm of Yahoo Sports on Zook and other NFL matters here at Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central next. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu, joined by our live blog director, Jamie Snowden, along with Alex Talich. We're talking some Packers football. We're going to be talking about Ron Zook in a second, apparently the new special teams coordinator of the Packers. But to talk about some NFL matters, we have a guest joining us on the phone, Eric Edholm of Yahoo Sports, who I met in Arizona last week. Got to talk to you. Eric, it was nice seeing you.
Nice seeing you as always. What's going on, Brian?
Not much. We're glad you could join us on the show. Seeing as I met you at the Super Bowl, let's take care of some final looks back at the big game this past Sunday. Just yesterday, it was learned Tom Brady is giving his MVP truck to Malcolm Butler. But what I want to know is, do you think the media didn't vote for Butler for MVP just because he doesn't have the name recognition? In my opinion, Butler deserved the MVP award.
Well, he certainly made a huge play, one of the biggest in New England Patriots history, I think, and that's pretty obvious having watched the game. But you also have to consider, I mean, quarterbacks are going to win those type of things, just like they're going to win MVP awards more often than not, just like, they get the name recognition, obviously. You know, Brady did have the two unsightly interceptions that probably were in the negative side of the coin, but the way he played, down 10 points, two fourth quarter drives for touchdowns, in the final, 8 minutes? I don't know that you can top that. As great as Butler was, he only played 17 snaps, I think, on defense. So you have to factor that in. Brady played the whole game. He did so against one of the more daunting defenses in recent NFL history. So in my mind, I think they got it right. And Brady got it right, too. He doesn't need a truck. He's doing okay on his own.
Fair enough. I can buy that. The other opposite sideline, Darrell Bevell is under fire for his play calling in Seattle. That's a guy I think people in Wisconsin know pretty intimately from he played at Wisconsin during his college years. He was a former Packers quarterback coach when he was tutoring Brett Favre back in the day. Is there any possibility Darrell Bevell is going to kind of be a scapegoat for this loss?
Well, you know, there's two parts to this. Number one, he made a call that I think everybody was questioning inside their locker room, outside their locker room, in the media, amongst fans, et cetera. So there was a lot of questioning about that. There was a lot of people saying, hey, why don't you give it to the best running back in football from the one-yard line? If you get stopped, hey, you call your timeout, you throw it on third down. You only need 1 second left on the clock for fourth down. So I think a lot of people were sitting there saying, yep, why are you doing that even with that personnel package? But to me, the thing that was more more of an indictment of him was the fact that after the game, he sort of threw his player under the bus. You know, he sort of threw his guy, Jermaine Kearse, and said, hey, we've got to be stronger than the ball. That may be true, but I think a lot of people are viewing it like, did he really need to sort of point that out? Isn't that the kind of thing you sort of say in private? And you say, hey, you know, here's a teaching moment. We've got to be better at this situation, et cetera. But really, I don't know how that plays in the Seahawks locker room. I think there might be some grousing and maybe a little bit of credibility loss there.
I too, think that, you know, in addition to Kearse, Russell Wilson, I think, deserves a little bit of the criticism, too. I think when you throw slants on the goal line, those got to be low, so they're not picked off. You know, why can't the receiver go down to his knees and get a low pass? But anyway, Warren Sapp was arrested for solicitation of prostitution. Have we seen the end of Warren Sapp in the media? Here's your other Green Bay connection. I think this is a guy that Packer fans still can't forgive for his blindside block on Jack Clifton. I mean, we're talking, you know, more than a decade ago. But anyway, have we seen the end of Warren Sapp?
I forgot about that Clifton play until you just mentioned it. And yeah, I mean, I know Packers fans have great memories. They're outstanding football scholars, so they certainly have not, I'm sure. But, you know, I will say this. I never thought he was much of an analyst. There were moments where he would get on some interesting points. He would give a perspective that, you know, I think was worth having and everything. But he was a lot of flash and not much substance in some cases. So then you throw in the fact that, you know, he has this reputation of being tough to work with. And now this arrest, and there are lots of Warren Sapp stories out there, and they get around in media circles. We're like a little sewing circle, obviously, and people talk, producers move from one network and one show to another. So I don't know that his reputation is real strong right now in the media. He is a name, he is a face, he is recognizable, but I do happen to think there may be the real possibility that he may have worked his last major media gig.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it as well. He's just not a friendly guy from what I've heard of Warren Sapp. Not that I know him personally, and I know he kind of puts on a persona in front of the TV. But
yeah.
Anyway, getting to current Green Bay Packers matters here. Reports are out of Green Bay that Ron Zook is the front runner to be named the new special teams coordinator. Any thoughts on the former Florida and Illinois head coach?
Right, and he coached special teams, I believe, at Florida also. He also coached special teams, I believe, for 3 or 4 years with Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yep, under Cowher.
Probably about, yeah, I want to say at least 15 years ago. It's forgetting exactly when it was. But yeah, I mean, I think the reputation of Ron Zook was that he was a great recruiter and kind of a lousy head coach. I think that's the sort of people look at and see. And, you know, some of it is maybe a little unfair. He always tried to be somebody who took a lot of the responsibility of what was going on, maybe a little bit too much at times. You know, he did sort of have this deer in the headlights look on his face at times on the sidelines. But you know, I think he does know football. He's 60 years old. He's been in the NFL. He's been in college football. You know, I think he's a better coach in when he's given sort of streamlined responsibilities. And he knows offense and defense, which is all special teams are. You know, it's blocking and tackling. That's really what special teams are. And, you know, we've certainly seen it go the other way with guys like John Harbaugh and Bill Belichick start with special teams, become a head coach. You know, maybe this is a pretty good assignment for him. And I think the Packers knew they had to move on from Sean Slocum, given all the mistakes that were made on those units this year. Really held him back in certain situations. So, you know, it's a curious move, but an interesting one. I'm curious to see how it works out.
The Packers, the word from the NFL yesterday, the Packers officially hold the 30th pick in the NFL draft. Any thoughts on what position you think they might address with that pick?
Yeah, it's a great question. Obviously, a lot depends on free agency, what happens with Randall. You know, does Ted just sit back there and sort of let the guy come to him? I think we've seen that a number of times where Green Bay ends up getting a player that many people didn't think would be available. When their pick came up. Dayton Jones, I didn't think would be anywhere close to where they were going to be picking. I thought it was a great pick at the time. That's just one example of that. So you could consider wide receiver. Yeah, I know there's possibly some depth there with some young players like Aberderis and Janis. We'll see if those guys ever will be more than threes and fours. You know, I would probably say offensive line and D-line have to be on there. Maybe a pass rusher, considering what they're doing possibly with Clay, moving him around a little bit. Defensive backs are always going to be sought. You know, you have two cornerbacks who've been out there for a while, could use some depth. They went safety high last year, probably not going to do the same this year. But, you know, those are all interesting decisions they have. I think O-line might be something to keep an eye on, too.
Yeah, it kind of depends what happens with Brian Bulaga there, another free agent for the Packers. So could address that there. Eric, I know you're busy. I know you got another radio interview to do here, but thank you for joining us here, talking a little Packers football on a Wednesday morning. It was good to see you, and let's do this again.
All right, pleasure's mine. Good talking to you, Brian. We'll talk to you real soon.
All right. Thanks a lot, Eric. Eric Edholm of Yahoo Sports joining us here at Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central. on a Wednesday morning. Great to have him joining us. Great to have you, the listener, joining us on the show as well. And now it's time for
Packers News of the Day.
Yesterday, the report from Bob McGinn of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, nothing is official, but the word is that Ron Zook looks to be getting the special teams coordinator gig for the Green Bay Packers, this coming on the heels, and something we haven't talked about here on Railbird Central, seeing as last week I was in Arizona for the Super Bowl, that Sean Slocum officially fired. I believe it was one of those Friday news dumps that they like to sweep under the rug on Friday at the end of the workday, so as few people cover the story as possible. But anyway, Sean Slocum fired, and you know what? It was just, to recap briefly here, the right decision, something I personally have called for at Cheesehead TV and articles, blog posts that I've written. You know, of course, the seven blocks this past season being the straw that broke the camel's back. Well, maybe that's not the straw that broke. That was the biggest indictment of Sean Slocum, allowing seven blocks. The straw that broke the camel's back was perhaps the Seattle NFC Championship game, the game in which the Packers gave up the fake field goal for a touchdown. In addition, couldn't recover the onside kick. Brandon Bostic, of course, kind of the goat for that play. But we also learned that the Packers finished last, dead last in the NFL, 32 out of 32 teams in the Dallas Morning News annual special teams rankings, kind of considered the preeminent source of how special teams rate in the NFL. They rank last in the NFL at punts inside the 20. We saw punter Tim Mastay kind of take a step backwards in 2014, kind of curiously. So, you know, add all these things up, I think it was the right time. The Packers had to part with Sean Slocum. It just never really was great for him. I think he did have several very talented individuals. When the Packers special teams were doing good, we're talking like, what are we talking, like 2011, 2012, I think they were pretty good. You had some pretty good specialists who, you're talking about Randall Cobb, you're talking about Tim Mastay when he was probably the best one or two seasons of his career, Mason Crosby. I think when these guys are on, you know, and you got a long snapper, Brett Goode, who has never had an errant snap in his life. I think when those guys are doing good, you know, the special teams are doing fairly well, but the coverage units and the blocking units, just, you know, the guys made up of your offensive and defensive players, not your specialists. I think those are the things that have never really been all that great in Green Bay. And it's got to take somebody new here. We need a new look, a new system, a new, you know, perspective, a new point of view in Green Bay. And obviously that's coming. It's just a matter of, you know, who it's going to be, and it looks as if it's going to be Zook. Now, the question going forward here is, you know, whether it's the right move to hire from within and whether it's the right move to hire Zook. Because, I mean, first of all, you know, Zook is now going to enter his second season in Green Bay, was just hired for the 2014 season. Remember, the Packers before 2014 had fired special teams assistant Chad Morton, who ironically joined the Seattle Seahawks, who beat the Packers in the NFC Championship game. But they hire Zook, and you know, even with Zook, the Packers, albeit he wasn't the head guy, he was just the assistant, but I mean, this is a unit that went backwards in 2014 with Zook you know, in the fold. So, you know, why are you sticking with somebody in-house when maybe you could get that fresh perspective from out of the house? But, you know, here's why I'm willing to give Ron Zook a chance. And here's my perspective you'll be getting today. Okay, and Eric Edholm kind of basically referred to this. Okay, everybody knows Ron Zook from his time at Florida in Illinois, and he wasn't great in those places. And the impression, the book on Zook, as it were, that the saying always is, he was a good recruiter, but not a great coach. And, you know, he takes over for Steve Spurrier at the University of Florida. And obviously, it's expectations are unbelievably high for Ron Zook at the time. We're talking about the early 2000s here, basically. I believe that's when he was an assistant, then eventually gets hired back as the head coach in the mid-2000s. But anyway here, Ron Zook, does okay at the University of Florida. He basically has winning records every year, but does not, exceed expectations. And here, I just pulled it up here, and this is just from his Wikipedia entry, so I have not fact-checked this, but, I mean, these things are usually pretty accurate. The Florida Gators, and when Zook is the head coach, they go 8-5, 8-5, and 7-4. And they make basically New Year's Day bowl games every year. Go to the Outback Bowl, and the Peach Bowl. Very good bowl, not the playoff caliber BCS type bowl games, but New Year's Day bowl games. So again, they're good. They're not great. I think the saying is that he never beat a top 10 team in his 3 years at Florida, and that's kind of always held against him. And so he goes from Florida, where he knows the writing's on the wall and people aren't happy in the aftermath of Steve Spurrier. And he goes to the University of Illinois, becomes head coach. And, what I think another thing is that you have to consider with Ron Zook at Illinois is take a look at the success Illinois had prior to Ron Zook and the success they've had afterwards. And all of a sudden, I don't think it doesn't seem so bad. And not that, I think after, what was it, 7 seasons in Illinois, I can't blame Illinois for moving on. But, here's a guy who took Illinois to the Rose Bowl once in the 2007 season. And, had taken them to winning records and a few other times later in his career. But compare that to what happened before Ron Zook and after Ron Zook. We're talking about teams that win 0-1-2 games a year, and they're kind of doing okay. They're heading in the right direction under Tim Beckman right now. But, I'm willing to give Ron Zook the benefit of the doubt here as Packers special teams coach because, I think there are some people in this world, in the game of football, that are not cut out to be head coaches, but maybe they're good assistant coaches. I don't think there's any shame in the lifetime assistant coach. I think that can be a very good thing for some people. Now, I think most people who get into the coaching business have their sights set higher than just being an assistant or being a coordinator. They actually want to go on to be a head coach someday. But I just don't think that's in the cards for everyone. I think maybe that's in their wheelhouse is being that assistant, is being that kind of, I think it's said a lot of times that when you're a head coach, you can't be a player's friend, but when you're an assistant, you kind of can be sometimes, and maybe that's where he fits in. And this thing about being a recruiter, that was always the thing for Ron Zook, is he was a great recruiter. In fact, he goes and he basically built the program that Urban Meyer went on to win a national championship. Urban Meyer won a national championship at Florida basically with Zook's recruits. you kind of wonder, had Zook stayed on, what he was able to do as everything was kind of coming together there. And, it gets Tim Tebow and all those things. But anyway, So I wonder, you know, does that translate to the NFL a little bit? I mean, you're obviously not recruiting players to come to Green Bay. I mean, you could kind of make that argument that you would in free agency a little bit, but that's not the point I'm making here. In terms of, you know, does Ron Zook have the ability to recruit basically offensive and defensive players and get them to be able to buy in to what's going on special teams? As I said before, I think the weakness in Green Bay has always been the return units, the blocking. You know, when there's a kick return or a punt return, it's the guys blocking for the returner that I think have kind of been, you know, those units have been subpar. And then the coverage units, the guys covering kickoffs, covering punts, trying to make tackles. Because, I mean, for the most part, these are your athletic guys on the team. These are your linebackers. These are your defensive backs. These are your tight ends, your fullbacks, the guys who have size and strength to them, but also have a little bit of speed. I mean, for the most part, your offense and defensive linemen, the players in the trenches, are not on your coverage units or your coverage units. They are in your blocking units. But so I want to know is can Ron Zook recruit, basically, get these type of players to buy in to making special teams a priority, to making it important to them? I mean, because obviously it was a downfall. I think teams can fall into that trap where they get into thinking special teams is not important. You know, there's no special teams player out there who's making a ton of money based upon what he does for special teams. You know, it just doesn't happen. You know, it's a thankless job that has almost no notoriety. You know, the only players that get recognition on special teams are the kickers who score points and the return men. And that's basically only if they take it for a touchdown do they get recognized. You know, if they just have your run-of-the-mill 20-yard return, nobody really notices the return men for that matter either. So can Ron Zook be able to recruit these guys and get them to buy in, because that's what's got to happen in Green Bay. And you know, I'm not there behind the scenes, but all I know is that it wasn't up to par. It was the weakness. It was the weak link in Green Bay these past several seasons. And it's got to change. It's got to change. And you know, if you go and read the article by Bob McGinn at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, he basically points out that most of the big names in NFL coaching circles have already been hired, including, I know for one, one of the few special teams coordinators I'm familiar with, Bobby April. I believe he joined the staff of the New York Jets, and he's a guy who's had success in the NFL. But he's gone. There's been several others who have been gobbled up, and basically because, you know, the Packers advanced so far into the postseason, these other teams got a head start basically on hiring their coaching staffs, teams that made, you know, switches at the very end of the football season. So I don't know that, you know, Zook might be the best candidate. I don't know, you know, maybe there are others out there, kind of the under the radar up and comers, somebody who might be involved in the college game. And it would certainly behoove the Packers to research that and Mike McCarthy to dig into his Rolodex and make a few phone calls. Like I said, nothing's official here. They haven't hired Ron Zook yet. This is just a report that they will, or that he's the front runner. And according to sources, they say they're going to promote from within. But, you know, I'm willing to give Ron Zook the benefit of the doubt. Again, a guy who might be suited for an assistant coach role as opposed to the head coach role where he didn't, you know, see much success at Florida, at Illinois, when he's there. And and so we move forward now. The other news yesterday on Tuesday in Green Bay, the NFL makes it official. The Packers have the 30th selection in the first round of the NFL draft. I didn't really need the NFL to make it official for me to do the math, but thanks anyway, NFL. you know, I don't think you have to think very hard to figure out where the Packers would draft. But anyway, and I guess I just, you know, for a topic of discussion here, I had just tweeted this out before the show and just wanted to expound upon it here. It's possible the Packers could have their pick of the litter at inside linebacker with the 30th pick in the draft, which is actually a pretty nice position to be in. What that means is that there's no real highly rated inside linebacker that's going to go in the top 10 of the draft, maybe even the top 15, top 20. The best inside linebacker of the 2015 draft class could fall all the way to number 30 overall. And I'm not saying this is a guarantee. And I kind of had one caveat, and that is, do you consider Shaq Thompson of the University of Washington, first of all, to be an inside linebacker or not? I think people kind of consider his primary position to be an outside, weak side linebacker. He's definitely one hell of an athlete. There's no doubt about it. Here's a guy who is talented enough to play on both sides of the football and play both sides of the football well, actually lining up at running back at the University of Washington. I believe Shaq Thompson scored 4 defensive touchdowns this past year. So I don't know if you consider him an inside linebacker in a 3-4 scheme. And second of all, I don't know whether he'll last to number 30. But I suppose it's possible he lasts to 30. And if not, if you don't consider him inside material, you know, could the Packers still end up getting the pick of the litter then? And so, I mean, you're looking at a couple guys here that the Packers could consider. We're talking about Bernardrick McKinney of Mississippi State. We're talking about Paul Dawson of TCU, Eric Kendricks of UCLA, and Denzel Perryman of the University of Miami. Kind of all these guys are there out in the open that could all be available to the Packers at number 30. And what a great position that is to be for a couple reasons. I mean, first of all, if there's a guy you really like, you think he is the best out of this draft class, you know, go ahead. Why not take him at number 30? And then as I, you know, put out this missive on social media, I know some of the responses I've gotten as well are, okay, that's a good position to be in because, okay, there's those 4 guys right there. Why don't the Packers take another position, address, say, the defensive line or something like that in the first round? And then more than likely, by the time the second pick rolls around in the second round, one of those guys, at least, is still going to be available. Or if not, you know, trade up into the second round. It's going to cost you a whole lot less to trade up into the second round than it is the first round. So there's that to consider as well when you're looking at the Packers and their 30th overall draft pick. So that's kind of just becoming apparent to me right now where these inside linebackers are kind of fitting in and things like that. And the Packers, you know, you got to be encouraged by this, that they're in pretty good shape. And no, I mean, I've been asked on social media, on Twitter, I don't have an opinion yet on who my favorite is, who the best inside linebacker in this draft class is yet. I haven't, you know, gotten the time. I've seen all these guys in live action, games that I've watched. But for me to make an informed opinion, I got to, you know, find some game film, and I have to focus on the player specifically, not watching an entire game and watching the entire team. You know, I got to go out and focus on these guys for several games worth of material for me to make a decision. And they're all very good players, obviously. I mean, when you're being considered of going in the top 2 days of the draft, you know, rounds 1 through 3, I mean, you're a good football player. Now I just got to decide whose game translates best to the NFL, who might fit best at the in the system of the Green Bay Packers. And so that's what's next. And, of course, we're beginning to start our preparations for putting together our NFL draft publication here at Cheesehead TV. So looking forward to that, and all that will be upcoming here. So make sure to look forward to that. But that'll do it for today's edition of Railbird Central, folks. There's pretty much, I've got nothing for
the day ahead,
except if Ron Zook gets hired here at any moment. There's no guarantee that's happening today, or I don't know when it's going to happen. I've got nothing. It's the off season now. There's so little happening, you know, as whereas in the season, we're basically looking forward to practice, to injury reports, to, you know, media appearances, all that. I've got nothing here in the off season, 3 days after the Super Bowl now. So sometimes media appearances can kind of pop up out of nowhere, and we'll look forward to those. But as it is, nothing on the docket right now. But we're glad to have you joining us here at Cheesehead TV. Make sure to go follow Eric Edholm on Twitter. If you're just an NFL fan, he writes for Yahoo Sports and their Shutdown Corner blog over at Yahoo. He does a good job. I've kind of gotten to know Eric personally over the past few years. Really good guy. Go give him a follow. It's Eric_Edholm. Go give him a follow on Twitter. By all means, just say, hey, nice job on Cheesehead TV this morning. It was great listening to you. It was great to get his insight here earlier today. But we'll see you later, folks. On behalf of everyone here at Cheesehead TV, I'm Brian Kirvu. We'll talk to you again on Friday. It'll be our monthly first Friday of every month engagement with Scott McKenna of the Talkin' Smack blog, upcoming in 2 days from now. So we'll see you later, folks. I leave you today with a song called Nemo by Humphreys McGee on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack, go.